Sadly, the world around us is full of fear and hatred. It's all too common in our society to respond to people different from us with hostility and to try to keep people at arm's length. In our nation, there are those who vilify entire groups of people, such as Muslims, such as Mexicans, suggesting somehow that we can keep ourselves safe by excluding them from living in this country. This week, 11 states sued the federal government over the right of people to use a restroom matching their gender identity, not what their birth certificate might say. And this hatred is, sadly, known in our own local communities as well. 1 week ago today, the Jewish community on East Avenue in Pawtucket, just up the street from here, awoke to find a red swastika painted on their sign. This symbol, used by the Nazis so many decades ago, still has the power to communicate hatred, violence, and persecution to those who are Jewish. And then on Monday at the Cranston Stadium, hateful and racist graffiti was found, including swastikas, the letters KKK, and the statements, "I hate Arabs, I hate Jews." This graffiti, these words of bigotry and hatred, have the power to instill fear in the hearts of many. And I know myself, and I trust you, and I hope all of us who are not targeted by this hateful action find ourselves revolted by it. Now, in both cases, members of the communities gathered, both of those places and also the wider community, and the media was present. And they gathered to condemn these acts and to offer visible support to those who were targeted. Bishop Knisley, our own bishop, offered a statement at the gathering in Cranston on Tuesday afternoon in which he said, "The fact that this is now the second such incident in less than a week is a point of great concern for all of us. While it is likely that this particular event represents a single person's ignorance, the fact that it is happening again means this is not an isolated incident. And the mistaken ideas spray-painted on the pavement here are not held by just one person. The great danger is that if the community does not speak out in a single voice to reject these attacks on our neighbors, these ideas will spread, and those using such language will feel emboldened. Thankfully, our joint witness this afternoon makes it clear that we do reject the language of hatred. I believe that the broader community's unanimous rejection of the offensive and ignorant ideas that are being voiced is a sign to all of us of who we really are and of what we value as a people who are many but are becoming one." Bishop Knisley is reminding us that our call as followers of Jesus is to reject the fear of the other embodied in these hateful actions and instead to embrace that expansive love of God made known to us in Jesus. Our call is to embody and give witness to the broad love of God, a love that does not exclude, that welcomes all, that welcomes those who are the least, those who are at the margins. We are called to be a loving, inclusive, welcoming presence of the risen Jesus in our broken world, a world that is so full of fear and hatred. And we are called to work for justice for all, naming hatred and evil when we encounter it, not letting it be the final word. Our scripture lessons this day offer the call to welcome the stranger and the foreigner, excluding no one, looking for God to be at work, even in the lives of people who may not recognize God's activity. In our first lesson today, from the first book of Kings, King Solomon is praying at the dedication of the new temple in Jerusalem, the temple that he has built for the Lord. And Solomon comes before the altar. He kneels. He lifts his extended hands to heaven and offers a prayer before the assembly of Israel. He praises God, saying, "There is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants." Solomon then prays that when a foreigner from a distant land hears of God's mighty name and comes to pray in the temple, God would hear the foreigner and do what they ask. By this, all the peoples of the world will know God's name and will fear God. Solomon is praying that the people of Israel will be faithful in welcoming all, even the foreigner, welcoming them into the temple and asking God to hear the prayers of those not of the house of Israel. For Solomon, foreigners have a place in worshiping God. Our epistle today is from the opening verses of Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in this letter, Paul challenges the Galatians, some of whom insist that Gentile followers of Jesus follow the Jewish law. Paul insists that he was called by an appearance of the risen Jesus to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And in calling him, Paul says, God is doing something new. God is calling the Gentiles. God is giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit. For in Christ all are a new creation. And so, Paul says, Gentiles don't need to follow the law. In our passage today, Paul is accusing the Galatians of turning to a different gospel, even of perverting the gospel. Paul assures them that his message may not be popular, and he says to them, am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul reminds us that the gospel challenges the assumptions of this world. Jesus calls us to expand our thinking and our actions, looking for the work that God is doing. Where the world sees threat and danger in those who are different, Jesus impels us to offer love and welcome. The activity of God is ever expanding, bringing those at the margins into the abundant love that God intends for everyone. The good news of Jesus challenges our human assumptions, our desire to protect, to privilege those who are like ourselves. In doing so, we will be at odds with common thinking and common practice. We will be challenging the ways of our society. In our gospel today, Jesus encounters a group of Jewish elders sent by a centurion, a man who is not Jewish, a man who is a Gentile. It's remarkable that this Gentile, who actually works for the Romans, has these elders, these Jewish elders, coming to Jesus. But these elders tell Jesus that the centurion is a good man, that he loves them, that he built their synagogue for them. They then say the centurion's slave is ill, and he hopes that Jesus will come and heal the slave. But before Jesus reaches his home, more messengers, friends of the centurion, come to Jesus, and they say to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. Jesus, we are told, is amazed by the centurion's faith, and he heals the slave. Jesus says of the centurion that he has not found such faith in the house of Israel. Though the centurion is not a part of the people of Israel, he yet possesses a strong faith. He believes Jesus has the power to heal his slave. He knows he has no right to ask Jesus to do this, but he is a man who believes, and he loves all people. And though he is a foreigner and part of the very group that is oppressing Israel, he comes to Jesus. So he is an outsider, and yet Jesus finds great faith in him, heals the slave, and praises him. All of our lessons this morning remind us that we are called to live not by fear, not by isolation, not trying to protect ourselves from the peoples of this world, from those who are different from us. Rather, we are called to live by the love of God made known in Jesus, by a love that moves us outside ourselves, expands us to embrace the whole of humanity, a humanity created in great diversity by God, created in the very image of God, a humanity deeply loved by God. We are called, like Jesus, to give away this love, sacrificially offering it, knowing that in the giving away of love is found the abundant life of the Trinity. Each day in my email inbox, I receive a meditation from the Franciscan and very wise and mature spiritual guide, Richard Rohr. And on May 16th, his piece included words by the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. In 2012, Pope Benedict invited Archbishop Williams to address the Roman Synod of Bishops. In his address to them, Archbishop Williams said this: "To be fully human is to be created in the image of Christ's humanity, and that humanity is the perfect human translation of the relationship of the eternal Son to the eternal Father, a relationship of loving and adoring self-giving, a pouring out of life towards the other. Thus, the humanity we are growing into in the Spirit, the humanity that we seek to share with the world as the fruit of Christ's redeeming work, is a contemplative humanity. And we seek this not because we are in search of some private religious experience that will make us feel secure or holy. We seek it because in this self-forgetting, gazing towards the light of God in Christ, we learn how to look at one another and at the whole of God's creation. This allows us to see created reality for what it truly is in the sight of God, rather than what it is in terms of how we might use it or dominate it." Archbishop Williams reminds us that we are being called to be transformed by the divine life of the Trinity, to become a new creation in Christ, to see with the eyes of love, to see with the eyes of God, to welcome as God welcomes. We are to be the very presence of Jesus in this world, this city, and this neighborhood. This parish, throughout its life and history, has extended Christian welcome in a very intentional way to all who come through our doors. For us today, this is an important value we hold. Many who come to this community tell me how they have found that to be true. May we always do so. May we welcome those who enter as we would welcome Jesus himself. May we see in every person a beloved child of God. And may we also extend that welcome and the call for God's love and justice to our wider community. As we move through our week, may we see with God's eyes. May we speak with God's love. May we welcome all, especially those at the margins. And may we be open to the places God is calling us to go, to the people God is calling us to meet. May our eyes be open to the work that God is doing all around us. And may we always challenge all hatred and exclusion where we find it. May we never make peace with hatred and tirelessly work for all to know the expansive, the abundant life that God desires for all people. Amen.